Welcome everybody to another episode of Shot in the Dark. I am your host, John Cena Evil here. Let's get right down to it, starting with AEW Dark's Elevation. Chris Statlander, who looks like her look has fully transformed now. New look, new entrance, new music, just her whole demeanor and style is different here as she defeats Ashley Dumois with the Big Bang Theory. Andrade El Idolo defeats Allen Five Angels by submission with his double arm stretch. Tony Nese, who is now accompanied officially by Smart Mark Sterling, defeats Jay Spade. Spade is making his AEW debut. I've seen him lately in NWA, and he's also appeared on 205 Live in the past. But Nese gets to win with the running knees. Dark Order's Evil Uno, Stu Grayson, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds defeats Alan Russell, Cameron Russell, Dale Springs, and Isaiah Zane. Grayson gets the pin very quickly after hitting the fatality. Roppongi Vice defeated Aaron Solo and Nick Camarado. Beretta gets the pin on Solo after the strong zero. Hikaru Shida, Ruby Soho, and Anna Jay team up to take on The Bunny, Emi Sakura, and Rachel Rose. Shida comes out like playing the candlestick, kind of like a guitar. Pretty funny here. But the match ends with all babyfaces applying submissions together, but Rose is the one that submits to Shida's muffler stretch. And in the main event, the Hardys team up with Top Flight to defeat Private Party, The Blade, and Angelico. This is Angelico's first match since December, coming back from his knee injury, and Jeff Hardy is making his Dark debut here. Dante had some insane-looking offense at the end, but Jeff gets the pin after Matt Hardy hits Angelico with the Twist of Fate, followed by Jeff's Swanton Bomb. I was wondering where Jack Evans was during this match, but later on in the day, he did say that he is not going to be re-signed by AEW, so it should be interesting what they're going to do with Angelico here, if they're going to keep him as a solo act or what. We go to Tuesday's AEW Dark. Toni Storm, making her Dark debut, defeats Gigi Rae. Jamie Hayter was on commentary for this match, as her and Storm will be going at it in the first round of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Storm gets to win here with the Storm Zero. Daniela Camella defeated Rochelle Chanel. Eddie Kingston joined commentary for this and the rest of the show. Camella gets her first AEW win. In case you don't notice, the former Vanessa Bourne from NXT. She wins with a neckbreaker ahead of her qualifier match for the Owen Hart Foundation tournament against Britt Baker on Dynamite on Wednesday. Team Taz's Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks defeated Evil Uno and Stu Grayson of the Dark Order. Taz and Kingston just kept bickering on commentary, as Excalibur said, "This is how people from Brooklyn and Yonkers talk to each other." Really funny. This is a really fun and fast match, and I think the commentary only made it better. Stark gets to pin on Grayson with this spear out of nowhere. I really like the tag team of Hobbs and Starks. I wouldn't be surprised if they put the tag titles on them in the near future. Tony Nese defeated JD Griffey. Griffey making his AEW debut, but he's been wrestling for about 15 years or so. And Nese finishes him quickly with the running knees, and in commentary mentions how he's been undefeated since being aligned with Mark Sterling. Yes, in both of his two matches. Marina Shafir defeated Alejandra Lyon. Shafir gets the very quick submission with this triangle choke. And after the match, Jade Cargill comes out, but Mark Sterling stops her from going into the ring ahead of their upcoming match on Dynamite. And Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland defeated Aaron Solo and Nick Camarado of The Factory. Another fun match here with Swerve pinning Solo after this powerbomb double stomp off the top rope combination. Lee and Swerve, they work really well together, and the crowd is fully behind them, so I wouldn't mind them staying as a permanent tag team. What would you call them? The Limitless Swerve? Something like that, right? We go to NXT UK. Dave Mastiff and Jack Starrs defeated Joe Coffey and Mark Coffey of Gallus, with Starrs pinning Joe Coffey after a powerbomb. There was some confusion at the end with Joe Coffey tagging himself in and Mark getting very upset about it. And after the match, the Coffey brothers start arguing with each other, and then Wolfgang runs out and gets in between them before Joe Coffey walks away. More to come with this. We see footage from last week with Dragunov and Roderick Strong shaking hands after the match, but they get interrupted by Jordan Devlin, who says Dragunov can't beat him one-on-one, so it looks like we'll be seeing that rematch soon. We also get a video hyping up Sam Gradwell versus Kenny Williams in a back alley brawl, so that should be an interesting out of the ring match for these two. We go to Mako Satomura, who comes out and calls out Isla Dawn and tells her to come out and bring her NXT UK Women's Championship. Dawn comes out, and as she comes out, it gets very trippy here as the visuals change, the music changes to kind of fit Dawn's persona. And Dawn says she will get the title back under one condition, if she gets a rematch. And then Dawn puts the title down and kisses it. And Satomura says if Dawn wants to wrestle again, she only had to ask. But then Dawn sprays black mist into the face of Mako Satomura and says that the match will take place in her world of darkness. So I'm not sure what that means, and we should be seeing if Satomura comes back with an eye patch next week or not. Not sure if the black mist is as powerful in the UK as it is in AEW. A male cuts a quick promo saying that she'll be watching Eliza Alexander's debut, and she'll get her hands on her and Xia Brooks' side very soon. We see footage from the break of Joe Coffey storming out of the Gallus locker room. So, yeah, I'll be a little surprised if this team breaks up, especially with Joe and Mark being brothers. So I'm not sure what's going to happen here with Gallus, but they have been together since the start of NXT UK, so maybe it is time for a little bit of a change. Mark Andrews and Wild Boar cut a promo saying that they've been friends for about 15 years, and now they will unite again to take out Eddie Dennis in Symbiosis. Eliza Alexander, the former Lizzie Evo, makes her wrestling debut here, defeating Angel Hayes, and she has Xia Brookside in her corner as well. Alexander looks pretty impressive here and wins with a running knee to the side of Hayes' head. They try to speak to Amelia McKenzie backstage, but Stevie Turner interrupts her and says that Mako doesn't see Amelia as a threat to her. So this story continues. Tioman defeated A-Kid. This is a pretty good match here that included A-Kid taking out the rest of Dia Familia on the outside with a top rope moonsault, just to be finished off by Tioman with a jumping inverted DDT for the pin. We go to Impact Wrestling on Before the Impact, a little noteworthy here, I guess you could say, as Madison Rayne defeats Jesse McKay. Tennille and Cassie were both outside telling Caleb to toss in the chair and help their partners, and even after Caleb helps Madison, her and Tennille actually fire Caleb with a K, and then Caleb goes in the ring and helps the Inspiration, but they just slap him and leave, and then Caleb gets on the mic and starts talking trash and says that he's too good for this town. W. Morrissey comes out and takes out Caleb, powerbombing him through a table, and after this, Caleb did go on social media and said that his time with Impact is now officially done, so it looks like that was his write-off. W. Morrissey starts the main part of the show and says that last time he was here in the 2300 Arena, aka ECW Arena in Philly, he was taken out by an ambulance and was at the lowest points of his life, but tonight he's back clean, sober, and in the best shape of his life as the audience gets behind him and thanks them for showing him his support. Before we get to the next part, yeah, this is actually a pretty cool touch here, as you guys might remember, Morrissey having kind of like a situation a couple years ago and him not being in the best shape, and it's good that he kind of comes out here in the same arena and shows that he's has turned his life around a little bit. But he gets interrupted by Brian Myers, and Myers says that he's going to have Morrissey leave here in the ambulance again, but Morrissey is able to grab him and tries to powerbomb through a table, but he gets distracted by Chelsea Green and attacked from behind by Matt Cardona. Cardona and Myers powerbomb him off the apron onto the table. People might not like this, but it wouldn't surprise me if Enzo shows up in Impact soon to help out Morrissey, as this is a dream tag team matchup with the major players versus Enzo and Cass. We go to Deonna Purrazzo for her Champ Champ Challenge, and it is accepted by Willow Nightingale, who is making her Impact debut, and she challenges for the Ring of Honor title, but Deonna gets a submission win quickly with Venus De Milo. Willow's been everywhere lately, MLW, Impact, AEW. I feel like somebody needs to sign her. She's great. I can't talk enough about how great Willow Nightingale is, but she definitely needs to go somewhere for sure. Mickie James was being interviewed in the back, but she gets attacked by Chelsea Green as Cardona and Myers help her out. Tasha Steelz was being interviewed about her upcoming title defense against Rosemary Rebellion, and the spooky Decay video interrupts her. Jonathan Gresham defeats Rocky Romero with a roll-up in a nice showing in their first one-on-one encounter. Not sure if Gresham's time and Impact is up now that he is officially, or not officially, I guess, but reported to be in AEW, so we should see what happens with that. We get a really well-produced video hyping up Josh Alexander and Moose's match at Rebellion. Really good here. Ace Austin interrupts Mike Bailey backstage, who's working out, and says that it looks like Madman Fulton is injured, so it will just be them two against Trey Miguel at Rebellion, with the idea here that Ace Austin wants to work with Bailey, but Bailey kind of showing signs that he's kind of out for himself in this triple threat match. Alex Shelley defeated Steve Macklin with the Shell Shock in a really good 10-minute match. Madison Rayne and Giselle Shaw had a little altercation backstage where Shaw mentions how Rayne lost Caleb. Honor No More was in the ring with Eddie Edwards talking about the history of ECW and Ring of Honor in this arena before talking crap about the fans here. Mike Bennett and Matt Taven kind of join in and talk a little bit till Bullet Club interrupts them and says that Honor No More would be nothing if Bullet Club didn't put them on the map. Carl Anderson says hello to Maria for a big pop, if anybody knows their history in New Japan. And this ends up with both factions getting into a brawl, ending in PCO taking them all out with a cannonball until Jonah comes out as they go into their match, the main event here, with Jonah defeated PCO with a tsunami splash. This match was hard-hitting as expected, and they kept rolling after the match, including Jonah using chair shots and another tsunami until PCO finally stops moving. We go to NWA USA, a short episode here, with Magic Jake Dumas defeated Eric Jackson with the Abracadaver. Then after the match, he did a magic trick where he pulls a card out of Kyle Davis's jacket just to give Jackson a paper cut with it on his forehead, so kind of taking a trick out of Ace Austin's book here. We get a quick promo from Mike Bennett where he says that he got fired twice for being a sports entertainer, but now he's a professional wrestler. Kerry Morton and Ricky Morton come out, and then pretty much Kerry just challenges Colby Carino, but Colby comes out and declines it. In the main event here, Nick Aldis defeated Arya Daivari with the cloverleaf after dodging a second magic carpet ride attempt. Billy Corgan was on commentary for this match. NWA Power was a special Surge episode titled Velvet After Dark, hosted by Velvet Sky. The entire show had this very, like, over-sexualized tone to it, and whenever Velvet would talk, she'd kind of talk about how hot and bothered she is, and just the music and everything. It was very After Dark-ish, I guess you can say. But the matches here had Scion defeated Garrison Reed with the Rolling Death Valley Driver. Paola Blaze defeated Tootie Lynn with her feet on the ropes. We had an interview segment with Velvet interviewing Dirty Sexy Boys, where she keeps talking about how hot she is, and kind of, you know, JTG and Dirty Dango here kind of getting into it. Aaron Stevens had a in-ring wrestling segment with Casey Rocker, where he shows him how to put on an armbar, a cravat, and a side choke, but this just ends up being him straight up attacking Rocker. Austin Idol comes out and ruins Velvet Sky's mood backstage and asks if her parents would even approve of this, and Velvet gets all upset. The main event here had Black Jeez and Marche Rocket of Idolmania Sports Manager defeating the Rude Dudes, with Rocket pinning Jamie Stanley. And at the end of the show, it was pretty much just Austin Idol taking over the show, Velvet Sky walking away, as Idol has renamed it Idol After Mania. Hopefully we will not see this Idol After Mania show continue. We go to Level Up, where we have the former Roxy, Roxanne Perez, making her official debut here. This is before NXT 2.0, but she did make her debut here, defeating Sloane Jacobs. Jacobs making her first Level Up appearance here as well, after debuting against Nikita Lyons on 2.0. And they mentioned how Roxanne actually appeared on an episode of Total Divas when she was 12 years old in a segment with Natalia. So I actually looked this up, and yeah, she was a fan, just kind of like, you know, getting some advice from Natalia. So pretty cool that they can use that footage in the future if they wanted to. Now that Natalia is in NXT, it actually makes sense. So maybe after Natalia ends her feud with Cora Jade taking a picture, they can go ahead and show the video with Roxanne. Natalia can just go through and just destroy all these fans that looked up to her. But for this match, Roxanne gets the win after hitting the Code Red that she used to call Code Rock. I'm not sure if she's gonna hold on to that name or so. Damon Kemp continues his little bit of a winning streak, defeated Troy Donovan. Donovan had Channing Lauren in this corner. Kemp gets the win with this butterfly suplex into a neckbreaker finisher. Pretty good here. Tatum Paxley defeated Kiana James. Ivy now comes out during this match to watch on, as Paxley gets her first singles win here in NXT with this pretty quickly with this twisting senton. And Ivy now looked a little bit impressed. It was reported that Nile, as well as a couple other talent, are heading over to NXT UK, and they did mention that on NXT 2.0. So it should be interesting to see Nile in UK. New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong actually did not have an episode this week due to the Windy City Riot show, which is a really good show. Check that out if you haven't. There is a report on PulseWrestling.com from Bruce Lord. WWE Main Event had Tommaso Ciampa, still keeping his first name, still keeping his last name, still keeping his name in general, defeated T-Bar with a roll-up. We're just wait patiently for his Raw debut. Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz defeated Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, with Crews pinning Cedric. And the WWE Network editions of the week, a lot of stuff this week. We actually had another episode of ICW Fight Club, as well as Progress Wrestling, chapters 130 and 131. So they didn't show the Gresham and Kawanora match from 130, where Gresham wins the Progress title, but they did show the following 131, where Gresham defends the title against Warren Banks. So a little confusion here. I guess they could show Gresham, but they can't show the Ring of Honor title. I guess that's how it works. But now with Gresham time up, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the future of Progress on the network. We also got 10 episodes of WWF Superstars from 1995. So all that good 95 WWF glory can be seen. That is it for me this week. You guys can catch me here next week for another episode of Shot in the Dark.